Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Time now for Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Happy Saturday. It's disgusting and gross out there. Mego, I can't stand it.
Why is this every weekend?
Because we live in New England.
I know, but I'm always like, I know spring is tough. To me, spring is the toughest season. It's worse than winter because you grind it out through winter and all you want is one 70-degree day.
Yeah.
All you want is one day to sit on the porch and have some lemonade or iced tea or something in the afternoon and know that even if things aren't blooming yet, that the marathon is coming up. That baseball's back, that the NBA playoffs are on the horizon, and that you're almost there. And summer in New England is the best ever. But this time of the year sucks.
It's so bad.
It's worse than February. It's worse than January. I hate cleaning off my car, but at least you're just at the beginning of that. At this point, there are parts of the state that are getting snow. Not where I live, I see it all over social media.
I woke up this morning and there was slush and snow all over the ground when I took my dog out. Like it's the worst. And especially because in March we were teased with some of those days, right? We'd have like a 60, 65 degree day here and there. And it's like, all right, here comes spring.
Right.
And then all of April so far has just been blech.
You need one Saturday where everybody's out showing off their pale bodies and being like, the sun is coming back. We're all coming back to life. You got the Masters on the TV.
Oh, God, I love the Masters.
It's not hitting right today.
Are you a Masters fan, or are you like Courtney, where you think there's way too many Masters hardos?
No, I love that people are into it. I'm just, quite frankly, I have such a blind spot for golf.
That's fair.
I didn't grow up in a household where people were into golf.
Yeah,
my dad's not into golf, so it was never on the TV. Like, casually, I think it's fun that people follow it and are into it. It's a big blind spot for
me. Yeah, I get that. Texter already weighing in. Bedford got 3 inches of snow today.
That's not right.
That's not fair.
That is not right.
It's April 12th.
Yes.
It's like, it's not, it, this isn't.
Easter's next weekend. What are we doing? Like, what are we doing here?
It's a disaster. It is a disaster. I thought we were fixing global warming. This seems to have just shifted the seasons.
Global warming?
Yeah, well, you know, I thought that's what the goal was here. But it feels like instead of the planet getting hotter, the seasons have just shifted.
They really have. It's like September is summer now.
Yeah, and it fall really doesn't start until November. October is no longer fall. It's still warm in October.
So I had a whole Meg-splaining bit that I did on the old afternoon show about
great
how
bit.
New England needs more than 4 seasons.
Oh, I'm
and
so
I had,
with you.
I had like 7 seasons that you break down. And of course, everybody talks about fake spring and then sprinter, which we are in now, which is the combination of spring and winter. And then I had, so for the fall, I said, you don't really have the fall. You have harvest. Harvest is post fall. So harvest comes, you go into summer, you go into late summer, which like used to have another
September.
Term, but I don't think it's politically correct anymore.
Got it.
Where it's like just hot through September and yep. you can still go to the beach. And then you hit fall, which is Halloween time. And then you hit harvest, which is really like Thanksgiving the beginning
December.
Of the holidays.
Got it. Yeah. No, I think that's great because like it used to feel like once Labor Day hit, it's like, all right, now it's just going to start getting colder. Days get shorter.
And summer
starts getting colder.
Summer doesn't really start till July in New England.
Yeah, it's crazy. It seems like everything has just shifted. Instead of things getting hotter or colder, it's just everything's just shifted and we need to adjust
our
calculators.
In New England, you don't have spring. You just have mud. It's just mud season.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's mud.
Yeah,
everywhere you walk your dog
April
is
showers
mud.
Brings May flowers.
And mud. It just brings a lot of
mud. That's what the showers bring.
Yeah, it's just I don't see flowers anywhere. You see flowers, I don't see tulips outside. Outside of Star Market, I don't see. All I see is mud everywhere. Mud.
April is mudder season.
Disgusting.
It's tough mudder.
Yes.
There you go.
Anyway, we do have a lot of great sports on the horizon.
Yeah, there are.
We have the draft coming up. We have that to look forward to. We just got to get through this end stretch of grossness.
Yeah, we will get there. A couple weeks now until the NFL draft. Was it 2 weeks from this past Thursday is the NFL draft, which I am excited about. I believe you will be part of draft night here at WEEI, correct?
Yeah, we're going to have a party.
Yep, we're going to have a party. Mego and I will be part of it with Arcand and Fitzy. We're going to have a great time from 8 until midnight. So that's going to be a blast. And then on top of it, like, it's just, I just want this kind of whole mess to be over. It feels like things are starting to kind of come into form here for the draft. You're getting a clearer picture,
really?
If you will. Yeah.
I think we're kind of getting into silly season.
And
whole pre-draft calendar always gets this way where, you know, the 2 weeks to 10 days before.
Well, there's just so much coverage that people get like delirious
exactly.
at this point.
Everybody is drowning in mock drafts.
Lewis Riddick is comparing Patrick Mahomes to Cam Ward.
Right.
Like,
this is where we get into silly season.
Yeah.
And I think the rumors are flying. There's a certain amount of listening to it where you go, yes, you are getting a clearer picture of are trades going to be available for the Patriots? Or what are you hearing that people are actually interested in? Who are they evaluating accurately? What are different teams doing and looking at and evaluating? But then there's the mock drafts where people have been mocking this, especially for a team like New England, who was bad all last season.
Yep.
That we've been talking about this since early November, and I think everybody's brains are just scrambled eggs.
Yeah, and I get that. I just think maybe it's not the whole picture is coming together, but I think the top three picks are becoming more and more evident as the days go by. It seems as though Cam Ward will almost undoubtedly be the number one overall pick to the Tennessee Titans. Good for him. It kind of felt that way for a while. I questioned it a little bit, but now it seems almost locked in certain stone. And then you look to the Browns, and for a while people thought they may go quarterback, but now, and you know, think what you will of Joe Flacco, but he did take them to the playoffs 2 years ago. They also have Kenny Pickett, so they have quarterbacks on the roster, not a quarterback, but quarterbacks on the roster.
Technically, they have quarterbacks.
Correct. They do. And it seems very likely that they take Travis Hunter at two. And then even with the pass rushers they have, the Giants seem like they might be taking Abdul Carter at three. Or Carter. Hunter or Carter.
That was a nice little combination that you did.
That was a Freudian slip. I apologize. Hunter or Carter fall to you. God, I am like shaken by that. Hunter or Carter falls to you in
you
four.
You got it, Chime.
Thank
You're
you.
Such a champ.
I am blushing. This is terrible. Anyways, the Patriots wanted Hunter or Carter to fall to you at four. That doesn't seem like it's going to be the case, Mego. If you're the Patriots, what do you do now? Because there's some whispers out there that they love Will Campbell.
Are we going to get right into Field Yates?
Do it. Yeah, let's do it.
Dive
right
in. This is what panics me more than anything, Shime. Together, we feel the same way about Will Campbell. Like, the more that Will Campbell, I understand he's doubling down, he's defending himself. We've all heard the sound of him being like, nobody talks about my arm length, and that's why you're not a coach, and blah, blah, all these evaluators. I get it. I just still feel firmly I am worried about a guy who seems to at least look like the possibility of a guard at number four. You just don't take a guard at number four overall.
Yeah.
You just don't. And this is where I get caught up in the best player available versus the premium positions. Mm-hmm. Because when I hear that the Patriots are looking at best player available for number four at the draft, I think great. That's what I want them to do.
Absolutely.
You need your bad team. You're in a bad way with your roster. You need elite talent.
Yep.
That's the way they should go about it. But then if you're telling me that the best player available is going to be a guard, then I get caught with myself. Then I feel like a hypocrite because I go, ooh, it's just not a premium enough position. And if you tell me that there's that it's like 50-50, it's a coin flip of is Will Campbell going to be a guard or a tackle, I'm just not comfortable with that. It's too close to the Isaiah Wynn experiment. And there's just too much out there to me to take that gamble for
so
left tackle.
We may think that it is a 50-50 chance that he's tackle guard. If Mike Vrabel, if he had a truth serum and he was sitting right here and said, we believe in the depths of our heart, Will Campbell is an NFL tackle. Do you believe him?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, Vrabel is going to have a better read on that. And I've heard Dante Scarnecchia say a similar thing.
Yeah.
It's about the technique. It's not about that he's 32 and 5/8 of an inch in his arm length. Like, I get all that, and I hear that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's when you're at the number four spot, and especially if you're looking for what could be a premium position, you need such a strong assurance to stick and pick there.
Yeah, it's just, it becomes difficult, right? Like, the water is very murky at this position in this draft because all of these guys that want to play left tackle have short arms. Even, you know, Kelvin Banks, 33-inch arms. I think Josh Simmons, 33-inch arms. So they, like, just meet that arm length criteria, that bullet point that teams want to see, whereas Will Campbell technically doesn't unless you go by his pro day numbers, which are probably stretched. Regardless, like, he doesn't really meet those. And then the only tackle in the draft who is, it seems, going to be awesome is Armon Membu, but he's a right tackle.
Right.
Which you just signed Morgan Moses in the offseason, who plays right tackle.
And no assurances that he doesn't have a ton of documented experience playing on the left side. So
exactly.
It's another unknown. But the Field Yates piece that I want to put here, I saw this on Twitter. So somebody asked Yates, what's the most fascinating you heard off pro day workouts? Field Yates, ESPN reporter, he says, the number of evaluators who are unbothered by Will Campbell's arm length really stands out to me. I was hard-pressed to find an exec or coach who doesn't view LSU's Campbell as the best tackle of this class, and those same people told me his length wasn't a concern on tape. I'm not ignoring his 32 5/8-inch arm length from the combine, but most people I talk to are bullish on Campbell becoming a really good left tackle. He has excellent footwork balance and body control to hold up as a pass protector. It's no secret Field Yates, New England guy, is very tied into the Patriots organization. Maybe not quite as much with personal relationships as he was during the Belichick era,
sure,
but still very dug in on his sources there. So when he's saying that evaluators who are looking in that area of the draft are unbothered by Will Campbell's arm length because of college tape, I'm like, you hear so much about how unbothered the Patriots seem to be.
Yeah.
And how much they like Will Campbell. And that they haven't made any moves for the left tackle spot in free agency or trades.
Yep.
It just all looks like, as we get closer and closer, if there's no trade partner, and again, don't know if as we get closer, maybe that will shake out a little bit more, that they're going to stick and pick with Will Campbell, and the uncertainty of it makes me feel nauseated.
Well, I also think, too, a thing to notice, no other team is really tied to Will Campbell, right? Like, this is the consensus, it seems, best offensive lineman in the draft among NFL scouts consensus. And yet the only team that seems to be linked to him in the top 10 at all is the New England Patriots.
It's such a good point because you hear everybody talking about Abdul Carter. You hear everybody talking about, yep, Travis Hunter.
Mason Graham has been linked to the Jaguars a million times.
And the idea of, are they going to fall or can you trade up? Like, it really does feel like anybody who's trying to pump the tires around Will Campbell is just connected to New England.
Yeah, that's it. It's the only people. And so I feel like because of that, a lot of teams don't expect him to fall past New England. So those teams later are looking towards other players. It's one of the reasons why I think Armon Membu is such a popular pick to the Jets at 7, because they know it's like, oh, Will Campbell's going to be gone. We're just going to prepare ourselves to take Membu. And right tackle probably fits their offensive line needs more anyways. But regardless, like, I just think that other teams know, oh, Will Campbell's not going to be available because he's not going to make it past New England as it currently stands with Carter and Hunter going 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And that becomes a disaster. Like, that has the opportunity to be an absolute disaster for the Patriots. To play devil's advocate, when you watch the tape, he's really good.
Yeah, because he's playing against other college players.
But to his credit, he is playing in the SEC. He's not playing at like North Dakota State or Colorado or San Jose State.
Let's not argue against our own sensibilities. No. We hear guys like Vrabel talk about how great Will Campbell looks on film. Mm-hmm. And that he's playing against guys in the SEC who are going to be drafted at those positions.
Yeah.
We know well enough as anybody else over the last decade of Patriots drafting that just because you're drafted into the NFL at that position doesn't mean that you're going to be an active player or contributor to that roster, let alone a starter. And we're talking about a premium position where you need a starter in September. And so I'm sorry, but the college tape, like, I just don't think it tells you as much as it sounds like everybody's trying to make it out to tell you.
I understand, but like this is going back now 2 years, so not even last year's tape. If you go back to 2023 tape, Will Campbell was playing for LSU, and he was going up against Jared Verse, who is now a legitimate NFL pass rusher, and he was awesome for the Rams last year. And Campbell was like able; he was holding his own, he was winning. Like there is an opportunity here. I think that Will Campbell can be a good left tackle. I think the tape shows that. And as much as it sounds like a hard-o take to be like, oh, well, the tape says this, like, that's what it is. I understand the measurables are a massive concern. I recognize that. But if the Patriots are like, look, we're doing this a way we've never done this before, right? This is the first real post-Belichick draft we actually can maybe hopefully count on because Mike Vrabel's in charge. And maybe he's like, look, guys, I watched the player. I've seen the player live. Like, I've talked to the guy. This is our NFL left tackle. If he truly believes that, if that's how they absolutely feel, and this is not a pick of need just because you need a left tackle, then, like, I want to believe him. I want to give him that chance.
This is what they have to do, okay, because they're building out this new weights and conditioning facility down there.
Yep.
They need to get one of those, like, medieval stretch racks.
Oh yeah.
And they put them on that and they stretch
really
the
stretch
arms out, you know, see maybe if they can, not too far, but maybe just get a little bit more of a fraction of an inch.
Well, they might have done that at LSU because at the combine he measured in at 32 and 5/8, but at his pro day 33.
And they said that was an independent evaluator.
Yep, that's true. So
if
maybe
you believe that.
Maybe for the weeks leading up to his pro day, they threw him on the stretching machine and were like, all right, we really got to get these arms stretched out, man. But it just, It's tough because like I would almost rather you take like Tet McMillan or Jalen Walker, who seems to be the consensus number two best pass rusher in the draft, and then trade back into the first round from 38 to take your tackle at the back half of the first round. Like that to me almost feels safer than taking Will Campbell at 4.
The stick and pick, it looks like that's where they're going, and I feel we can get into some of the other rumors that are flying around, some things that people are putting out on social media who are tied into the Patriots, and then taking back and then getting angry that everyone's going,
so weird.
Hey, you put this out there, and now we're running with it, and you're mad that we're running with it. I promise we'll explain this in a couple minutes, because it is a wild ride right now as we're in silly season leading up to the NFL draft, but the stick and pick with Will Campbell, I really think that's what the Patriots are signaling that they're leaning towards, at least as we sit here today. And I don't love it. And it doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't make me excited for the draft. And it doesn't make me feel like they have totally solved their major gap at left tackle.
617-779-7937. It's Mego and Scheim here on WEEI. We see the calls already lining up. We'll get to those. We'll fill you in on who is reporting that the Patriots may make a big trade, but then immediately walking it back. We'll talk about all that coming up here on Mego and Scheim, but right now Zach is going to get you caught up with what's trending.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox bats stayed quiet in Chicago last night as they fell to the White Sox 11-1 in an ugly one on the South Side. 5 errors committed by the Sox in that one, and they now lead all of baseball with 19 errors in 15 games. Here's what Red Sox manager Alex Cora had to say after the game.
Bad night overall, you know, like we didn't hit, we didn't play defense, we didn't pitch, so you know, turn the page, be ready for tomorrow. But we just got to be better.
They'll look to turn that page this afternoon when Richard Fitz takes the mound opposite old friend Martin Perez. You can hear that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Coverage starting at 3:10 with Joe Weil on the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Cooper Boardman with the call of the game. First pitch from Rate Field at 4:10. Celtics beat the Charlotte Hornets 130-94 last night at the Garden. Peyton Pritchard leading the way with 22 points. They were, of course, without Jaylen Brown as he continues to nurse a right knee injury. And according to ESPN, Brown received a pain management injection this week. He'll still be ready to go for that first-round playoff series. Celtics will wrap up the regular season slate tomorrow afternoon, hosting those same Charlotte Hornets. Tip-off from the Garden at 1. Bruins heading to Pittsburgh tomorrow for the penultimate game of the season when they take on the Penguins. They currently sit as the fourth worst team in the NHL, which gives them a 9.5% chance at the top overall pick. Puck drop from PPG Paints Arena set for 3:30. Round 3 of the Masters underway down at Augusta. Justin Rose leading the way at 8-under. Bryson DeChambeau in second at 7-under, Rory McIlroy and Corey Connors, both at 6-under, round out the top three, while reigning winner Scottie Scheffler sits tied for 5th at 5-under. Finally, the BU Terriers going for a national title tonight in St. Louis. They're taking on the Broncos of Western Michigan in the Frozen Four final. You can hear coverage of that one over on WEEI 850 AM, puck drop at 7:30. My name is Zach Cohen. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Mego and Shy coming up after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Now, more of Mego and Shine on WEEI.
You can plug him into left tackle this year, and he's going to be an upgrade, and you're going to be functional, and you're going to be fine. And maybe it turns out not to be his long-term position. I think that he definitely upgrades left tackle for you. We know the glaring hole that is there at left tackle for this team. You know, at worst, you have a all-pro guard type in the anchor of your offensive line room for a decade. So there's no bust factor. He's going to be a very good NFL player.
That was Greg Bedard talking about Will Campbell, who seems to be, at least this point in time, the more or less consensus on where the Patriots may go at 4 overall after a draft that will shake out Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter.
Well done that time.
Thank you. I've kind of regathered
myself. The portmanteau that you were trying to put together there was a little problematic, Shime.
That was a mistake.
We'll keep workshopping that. We'll get a whiteboard in here and we'll keep working.
Is that considered a Freudian slip, or is that just a slip up in general?
We've all had them.
Yeah, you're right. We have. It happens. It happens to the best of us.
Even the pros.
For all our listeners across the pond in England, I don't think they would have cared all that
much. No, Australia loves it.
Yeah, exactly.
Australia, it's like saying, hey, buddy.
But the American FCC probably wouldn't have loved it.
No.
So, but anyways, that was Greg Bedard talking about Will Campbell, who seems to be the guy the Patriots may be taking it for. Me and Mego don't love it. I don't think a lot of – it's weird, though. I do think a lot of Patriots fans are okay with it, because they know the Patriots need a left tackle. And it seems like there isn't unanimity in, like, against it, more or less. And so I'm trying to find silver linings here. I'm trying to find upside. I'm trying to find potential.
You've moved into a phase of acceptance.
Yeah. Like, I don't hate Will Campbell as a player. Like I said, like, I watched
just as a person.
He's pretty good. He seems like a good guy. He can play football. I've watched him against some of the best pass rushers in this year's draft, which I think there's a lot of them. And he faced a handful of them being in the SEC. He faced guys like Jalen Walker and Shamar Stewart, and he held his own, and he was good in a lot of those spots. And he has played every snap of his collegiate career at left tackle. And so, look, I'm worried that it won't work. But again, if the Patriots are convinced that it will, I have to kind of, like, let Jesus take the wheel. And by Jesus, I mean Mike Vrabel.
Well, so, Shime, and I hesitate to go here because I want to very much promote our draft coverage and what we're going to be doing with our draft party. But because there's so much talk about how bad this draft is in terms of blue chippers and just how shallow the talent is through the first round, and the fact that you seemingly got your franchise quarterback last draft and there's not the same amount of hype around it, like, don't you feel like some people are looking at the draft and just going, well, I've kind of accepted it that it will take a couple more seasons for the Patriots to be really playing meaningful games when you get into January. And on top of that, like, we got the quarterback, so whatever positions you're filling around it, it's just, even if it was like, I don't know, I just don't think it's that sexy for casual fans to care about where someone's going to play on the offensive line, if we're being totally honest.
No, you're probably right. It would be way more sexy if the Patriots took, like, Ashton Jeanty at 4.
Or if, like, Marvin Harrison Jr. was in this draft.
Yeah, I mean,
could be at 4.
That'd be a lot easier to wrap your brain around and get more
Everybody
excited.
Everybody would be going, oh my God, you got to go do this. This is what the Bengals did. Yep. Like, this is going to be
this is our Jamar Chase.
Yeah, or your version of Justin Jefferson. Yeah. And then who even cares who's playing quarterback with you? Like, you can make anything work. But instead, we're really sitting here for months at this point talking about a guy's arm length and whether he's going to be a guard or a tackle. And I think for a lot of people, they go, I don't really care. Like, just make sure the offensive line doesn't get Drake May killed.
Let's go to Rick in Gardner wants to talk about the Pats. What's up, Rick?
Hey, Sean, Mego, love you guys. I got a hypothetical that might be a silver lining. So with Derek Carr's injury, like, would you take a first and a second out of desperation by the Saints to bump up to number four. You still could get Will Campbell, but you might get – what's the drop-off to the second-best left tackle? I just want to hear your thoughts.
All right, Derek, thanks for the call. Yeah, so Ken and Curtis had kind of posed this question to me in the crossover, so I will pose it to you, Mego.
Okay.
If the Saints are desperate for a quarterback now that Derek Carr is injured and it seems like he probably may not even play the entire season, and they are willing to trade up, are you okay with trading down to nine at this point and then taking best player available at nine?
Absolutely. I think that because of how this draft seems to shake out between four and some people are saying 4-12 and 4-20, mm-hmm. that it all kind of starts to look the same in terms of talent, at least the level of talent of the player that you're going to pick. At that point, I'm like, okay, again, you guys are in a rebuild, accumulate more draft capital, try to plug more places. If you don't feel strongly about Will Campbell at four and you don't feel so intensely that he's going to be a left tackle, then absolutely take the trade partner that you can. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter not being there, that's kind of what I feel like we've both been advocating for, yeah. is trade back, collect more draft capital, still find your tackle of the future, whether that's even on day two and you're going with BC High legend Ozzie Tripillo.
Yes, or BC High. Or we have BC High full show here.
Yeah, or you're going with Josh Connerly Jr. or mm-hmm. one of these guys who is certainly even less predictable
yep.
than Will Campbell seems to be, but at least you're not expending that capital. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if the thing that's really frustrating is in most years, you'd look at the number four pick and you'd go, you're going to get a blue chipper there. You're going to get somebody who's almost a lock. Like, especially if you're not picking a quarterback who has this inflated value in the draft because they're a quarterback, you'd be in such a pretty spot. But because of the nature of this draft, you just picked the wrong year to suck again.
Yeah, it's
okay?
tough.
Why did you suck last year? You picked the wrong year to suck.
You needed to be a little bit better. But I am in favor of the idea of trading down. But I want to caution fans that are in favor of trading down that what Rick said is not going to be what happens. You're not going to get a first and a second round pick. If you, first of all, if people don't believe this draft is as good as others, the value of trading up drops. So the cost to trade up is less. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, if you go by simply the Jimmy Johnson value chart, super nerdy for you. He has like a giant chart of draft pick values. The Patriots at four have a value of 1,800. The New Orleans Saints at nine have a value of 1,350. All that it would require for them to move up from nine to four would be like next year's second round pick and a fourth round pick this year, probably, is probably what you're looking at. That would get you about the 450 points or so to move up from nine to four and for the Patriots to come back. Are you okay with getting a pick in next year's draft instead of even in this year's draft? Like, you're getting a fourth round pick in this year's draft, and then you have to wait till next year to really kind of capitalize on that second round pick.
I think so. I think I'd still be okay with that.
Okay.
Again, it's not ideal, but nothing in this draft seems to be working out really ideally for you.
Not at all.
And
it's going as bad as it possibly could.
Even though you have Mike Vrabel out there saying, and I do want to get into some of the leaked video that came out this week and more that we're learning about how Mike Vrabel's running the program down there in Foxborough. But you get him saying the goal is to win the division this year. It's a great goal, but I think it's a lofty one. And so I think I'm more in a position where I'm like, this is going to be something where you have to nail the draft this year mm-hmm. and nail the draft next year and get yourself into real shape, not to just have like a one bump year like 2021.
I tend to agree with you. 617-779-7937. Mego and Chime here. Mego, one of the other reasons we played the Bedard audio coming in was because
he's being weird.
It's very weird.
I love Greg Bedard. I can't understand what he's doing on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call the platform
he's just
right now.
Being a troll, which is great.
Is he? Do you think it's intentionally that?
It feels a little trollish, and I like it.
Well,
so
yeah, this set it up for the people.
He
who
was
have
asked
not seen
a
this.
Question on X about every chance you get, you allude to a blockbuster trade the Patriots could make. Is this something you're speculating, or do you know for a fact that they're big game hunting? Greg Bedard replied to that tweet with, I know. So then that that conversation was tweeted out by one of the classic Boston aggregators. It says, interesting, blockbuster trade coming for the Patriots. Greg Bedard thinks so. And he immediately comments on it and says, you guys really need to stop this crap. That's not even close to what I said. Then what did you say? You said you know that they're looking for a trade. So is it that you know they're looking for a trade, but like nothing's imminent?
I'm confused. Okay, first of all, like expressions in how you talk get lost in translation on social media.
The beauty of text.
So if it's his way of just agreeing with what the observation that the first
but it was a question.
Twitter account said, but it was like, hey, you every chance you get, you're always alluding to this blockbuster trade that's on the horizon. And he's like, I know, I do that. That's the only way that he could spin it. And even then, it seems like he's answering the person. I 100%. Know that there's a trade coming.
And part of the question is, do you know for a fact? And then he immediately responds with, I know. So by definition, it seems as though he's saying, I know for a fact that they're big game hunters.
So he's like mad because he goes out there and he says, I know. I know that there's a trade coming. I know. And then people aggregate it and say, Greg Bedard says he knows there's a trade coming. He goes, guys, that's not what I said at all. So the only way that I can translate that is him saying that he was just trying to agree with the guy's observation. Like, yeah, I know. But guess what? That's not how it looks.
Or
that's not how it looks at all.
Or he's saying that I know for a fact they're trying to big game hunt, but like there's nothing actually manifest, like there's nothing actually coming to fruition, whereas then it's getting retweeted and blockbuster trade on the horizon. He's like, that's not what I said. I said they're looking for a big trade, but there's no like blockbuster trade on the horizon. Like that's the only kind of
I
can understand.
I do think if he's getting aggravated that people are picking that apart, that he's projecting that a big trade could be happening. That's kind of what he just said.
Yeah.
That the Patriots are trying to make it happen. Not that there's like
imminent trade could be made now anyways.
That there's an imminent trade, like brace for breaking news. I don't think anyone, unless you're really dumb, like thinks that that's happening. But you get the sensibility that they're trying to make a trade happen, to which you'd say, like, of course they are.
So do you think this would be a trade for an established player, or is there a chance they are trying to coax the Giants into moving out of 3 and back to 4 so that they can get Abdul Carter?
Well, when you
and put themselves in a better
position.
When
you hear blockbuster trade, what does that say to you? Does that say moving
acquiring
up?
A blue chip talent in the draft is pretty blockbuster, right?
Yeah, I just think that when I hear blockbuster trade, I think about an established player coming from another roster.
That's fair.
That's where my mind immediately goes. When you say blockbuster trade, we're talking about a known guy coming in here. And then people start thinking about crazy things, like about
So I got a couple
AJ
for you.
Brown.
Let me throw a couple for you. Okay. So what if I know this one, I think it was Bill Barnwell had this thought when he did his like all trades mock draft. What if the 49ers call you and say, "Look, we'll give you 11 and Brandon Ayuk to move up to 4?"
I would take that.
Absolutely.
I would take that in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. I would take that. Are you kidding me? Again, like maybe there is some.
But who are the Niners trying to grab at 4 then?
Maybe they want Will Campbell. They need offensive line help desperately.
Oh, now if the Niners want Will Campbell, I'm starting to look at Will Campbell a little differently.
So if Kyle Shanahan really wants Will Campbell, now you want Will Campbell.
This is where our heads start spinning in the not even mock drafts, but mock draft night one of what could
so
happen.
Here's another one. What if the Chicago Bears are calling you and they're like, we'll send you 10 and...
give me someone good here.
10 and 39. So this year's first and second to move up to go get Ashton Jeanty.
I'm less interested in that.
Well, so you don't want to move back to 10 for a first and a second?
You said for...
So the Patriots would go from 4 to 10.
Okay.
And they would gain the 10th overall pick and what pick is Chicago?
And
39 in this year's draft.
In the second round.
Yep. And then the Bears would move up and they'd be getting Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah.
Is that blockbuster enough for you?
No, I don't think that's blockbuster enough. That's more just like a very wise trade.
What if Dallas wants to go from 12 to 4 and they're willing to trade... Micah Parsons still doesn't have a contract, does he?
This is what I'm talking about.
I'm just throwing
stuff
against the wall at this point.
But these aren't even trade moves. These are just including established players. That's true. A blockbuster to me.
Fair point.
Yeah. Like, if you even remove the draft part of it where you're moving back, like, if they're trading Micah Parsons, that's a blockbuster trade. Come on.
Because, like, could you get, I don't know if you'd be interested, but if New Orleans is interested in moving up for a quarterback, could you get 9, Chris Olave, and another pick?
9, Chris Olave, and another pick. Yeah, I mean, I don't like the stick and pick at 4. So a lot of these scenarios, especially if you're, I think to make it blockbuster, though, to your point of all the scenarios that you're laying out, is you're including an established player.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I guess that's kind of the hang up here is it's like, all right, if it's a blockbuster trade, does it? Because I just think at this point, if there's going to be a trade, it's going to happen on draft night. Similar to when the Titans traded A.J. Brown away. That happened on draft night. The Hollywood Brown trade happened on draft night. I think if you're going to see a big trade, it's going to happen on draft night. But I'm just kind of curious if there's one on the horizon. Maybe the Patriots aren't 100% convinced that Carter and Hunter will go before them. And so maybe they want to wait until they have to make the pick before they do a trade out. And that's kind of what's taking so long. Otherwise, like, why wouldn't they just do that trade with a team like San Francisco now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That to me is kind of the only question mark that's hanging around it if it is involved on draft night. 617-779-7937. It's Mego and Chime here on Boston Sports Original. WEEI will continue with the Patriots conversation coming up next.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
You're listening to Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Okay, but I'm going to give you the rules that I have.
okay, that I would ask us to try to abide by. One is to respect the team, okay? Respect the football team and the people that are here, okay? The second one is, okay, I'd like you to have, when we're in a meeting, okay, I know what the style may be, just wear, pull your hood down in a meeting. That's all I ask, okay? I just ask that when we're in a meeting, okay, that we just pull our hoods down and we go from there. Be on time, okay? We just talked about time. Be on time. And if I can't be on time, Christian, what's the easiest thing to do? You would just call.
That's head coach Mike Vrabel meeting with the Patriots players, kind of setting the guidelines, the rules for how they're going to go about every day in the facility. No phones in meeting. You take your hood down, leave your phones in the lockers, turn your phone off. If your phone goes off, it's all right. Happens to everybody. Don't cough and make a mockery out of it. Just shut it off. Don't worry about it.
Keep it moving.
Keep it focused and communicate. You know, you're going to be late. Communicate. I think that's, I honestly, to be completely honest, it seems like general ground rules for like every job you have is it's like, you know, don't walk into a meeting with your hood on. When you're actually talking to somebody, you know, don't have your phone out. And then if you're going to be late or you have to miss practice or something, I don't know, call us. Let us know. Give us a heads up. Communicate. Don't do it all the time. Otherwise, then it becomes a problem. But if it happens once, like, you know, just call and let us know. I think that's pretty fair, pretty reasonable from Coach Vrabel.
Yeah, rules exist for a reason, though. Yeah. So he's like laying it out because he's been a head coach before and he knows how these things go.
He knows how these
And he knows
are.
That people put their hoods up so that they can sleep through meetings. And that people are going to be late occasionally and you just need to have the open lines of communication. I mean, I do think that this all comes back to what he said in his introductory press conference, which was get the entitlement out of the building.
Amen.
Like, and I do think that the more that we learn about how Vrabel is very early on running things down there as the Patriots are in OTAs now, that seems to be the overwhelming sentiment. Have respect for one another, respect other people's time. Don't goof around and you'll at least be a competent team. The other thing that we learned this week, as I was down there at Gillette twice for media availabilities with a couple of the players, the new center, Garrett Bradbury, was talking about one thing that he learned when he signed on with Vrabel that other people around the league told him, because he's been in Minnesota for his whole career up until now, is Vrabel will cold call on you. He's like, yeah, he's got a lot of questions for guys in meetings, which I love because it reminds me of like when you see the first year of law school on TV or yeah. movies, you know, and the professor, oh, it's a scary professor who's going to cold call on you to make sure that you're paying attention, that you're studying, that you're up on it. I do think that that is the kind of structure that was really lacking here last season, and it led to a lot of disorganization and guys not being prepared on game day. And so I like this idea that, okay, you got to be on your P's and Q's. You got to be ready to go. Even if you're just sitting in meetings, even if you're just sitting in film sessions, like you got to be up on it. Otherwise, you're essentially going to get pantsed in front of everybody and it's going to be embarrassing.
And it translates really nicely to actual football games, right? You have to be prepared in practice, in film sessions, in meetings. You have to be prepared to answer my questions. And then that relays to Sunday. You have to be prepared for your opponent. And if you're focused during the week as you're preparing for the game, then you are focused in preparation and being prepared for your opponent on Sunday. Like that's just kind of, it all kind of works together and it goes nicely. And it's a system, right? I don't think Jerod Mayo had this last year. I don't think he knew how to establish this kind of culture and preparedness. And that's one of the many, many reasons that this team struggled so much last year. Whereas Mike Vrabel comes in, he knows what he's doing. He's done this before. He's been a head coach for the Tennessee Titans for, what was it, 5 years? 6 years, right? Like, so he understands how it is in NFL locker rooms as a player, as a coach, and he understands how to set boundaries and set expectations for these guys so that they know if they don't meet those expectations, they will then be reprimanded for that.
Yeah, it's just a clear and open communication. And again, it's so early. Like, I'm not going to sit here and joke around about like, oh, they won March and now the culture's back and blah, blah, blah. Even though it is a little bit a sense of that's how things are going. I just think when you look from the outside in compared to where we were last year and all the miscommunication that seemed to happen even between Jerod Mayo and the front office and or ownership, where he's having to walk stuff back that he says to our station and that he says to media like every other
week.
We're
going to burn some cash.
Even before you get into OTAs, even before you get into minicamp, I do think that there's a different sensibility.
Well, and it's tough because like you said, we're starting from a different point than normalcy. And like with Mike Vrabel, what he said in that meeting is a normal NFL team. Like that's how you set rules, set accountability, all that kind of stuff. Whereas with Mayo, we were starting so far behind that because that wasn't there. It wasn't established, which is why it's, I think, jarring to some people. It's like, oh, nice. Look at that. Mike Vrabel, he's taking charge. He's really giving it to the players. He's letting them know who's kind of the top honcho here. And it, well, it's just because Mayo didn't know how to do that. That's how it is in every locker room. This is normal. We're just seeing it and reacting to it because it wasn't like that last year.
And again, some of that may just be like natural gravitas that Vrabel has,
definitely,
which he certainly seems to have always had since he was a player here. But another side of it is the experience. And that was the biggest issue with last year's staff overall, was just this lack of experience from the front office through the coaching staff. And that you put a first-time head coach in a position where he, I'm not excusing like some of the mistakes that Gerard Mayo made, and I'm glad that they moved on. I think it's the best thing for the franchise, but you didn't support him. And so it's no surprise that it was as messy, disorganized, chaotic, especially at the end of the season, as it was. So it's just nice to see a return to at least some kind of competence, functionality from what we can see early on.
617-779-7937. Mando is in Miami, wants to talk about the Pats. What's up, Mando?
Ah, this is good. This is my type of show. I've been waiting for this for a while. First off, Shine, you're not a hardo because you actually watch film on players that you talk about.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is a hardo.
Well, then I'm a hardo too. Everybody knows that. But the thing is that you got to watch. You got people like Curtis on there that like they really have never seen any of these players, but they have just super hardcore opinions on what's stupid and what's not. But I'm team with you as far as trading back if we can. I think that like getting out of the top 10, like there's a couple of tackles I'd take back there, even if Campbell wasn't there, like Zabel and Belton. I like Anthony Belton really good. I would like to grab them there, but like you were saying, the meat in this draft, if we could find a way to get an extra third round pick or an extra second round pick, I would almost trade back into like the 20s to get an extra two.
Thanks for the call, Mando. Yeah, I would love to be able to trade back into the 20s after taking your first round pick. I would love that. I think that is like, I don't want to say ideal, but like a very great scenario for the Patriots, because then you're getting two guys on those rookie contracts that you can get the fifth year extension. They're more manageable money wise, which is great. But on top of that, you're getting two like legitimately good football players. Luckily, where you are in the second round, you can still kind of get that. But I think the flexibility of the contract and everything and trading back into the first round is better.
Yeah, I don't want to step on what we want them to do because we're going to do that right after the break.
Yes, but we are.
Their position in the second round, as much as we talk about having the number four overall pick, doesn't seem to have the value that it would have in past drafts or other drafts. Even like where they sit for what I want them to do with that number 38 pick, I'm a little bit nervous that they're not going to be able to pull off what I want them to do.
617-779-7937. We'll continue taking your calls on the New England Patriots, Mike Vrabel, the upcoming NFL draft. Me and Mega will give you what we want the Patriots to do, our ideal draft night scenarios for the New England Patriots coming up next year on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.